This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 21st, 2020. I'm Caleb Brown. 10 years ago, the Supreme Court handed down what has become one of the most controversial decisions in many years. Scott Blackburn with the Institute for Free Speech details the case Citizens United v. FEC and why its opponents so substantially misunderstand the court's holding. It was about 10 years ago. More than 10 years ago, really, when you think about the genesis of this case. This was a case about a movie. And I will say, using my editorial prerogative to say it wasn't a very good movie, called Hillary the Movie. And the producers of that film wanted to advertise it on television and were prevented from doing so. So what happened in this case of Citizens United?
Sure. So as you say, a nonprofit corporation named Citizens United wanted to run a movie called Hillary the Movie, much in the same vein that Michael Moore had previously run anti-Bush movies. They went to the Federal Election Commission and said, we're a nonprofit corporation. We want to run this movie. We want to run it close to the election. Are we allowed to do this under campaign finance law? And the Federal Election Commission said, no, you have to. In order to run this, you have to follow a bunch of rules, and you can't spend corporate money on it. You can't spend your own funds on it unless it follows a bunch of different campaign finance regulations as they existed under McCain-Feingold. This went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and in 2010, I guess when the oral argument was held, which was the year before, the government held this position strongly. The Obama administration said, yes, this is true. We can prevent them not only from running ads for the movie, but from running the movie itself on certain platforms. At the time, DirecTV paid platforms. That would probably include streaming platforms today. And not only that, this rule applies to even a single word of express advocacy if it's published by a book, and that book is published with for-profit corporate funds, which almost all books are.
In fact, Justice Roberts, in the oral argument, basically asked this question directly about a book in which the last line of the book is, so vote for X. And the government asserted very clearly, yes, during the right time of year, we could ban that.
That's right. They could prohibit the publication of that book. This, as you might guess, caused quite a stir. The government they actually rescheduled oral arguments, which is quite uncommon in this situation. They had a second oral argument in which then Solicitor General Elena Kagan took over the case. She said the government no longer believed you could ban books, but they could still ban this movie, and they could still ban, say, a pamphlet that at the end of the pamphlet said, vote for X. They could prohibit that document. This led to the Citizens United decision, which essentially said, that cannot be right. We cannot allow a law which so clearly infringes on constitutional rights on the grounds that some corporate funds are used. So as long as a corporation uses their expenditures independently of candidates and campaigns, they are allowed to spend money on that kind of campaign activity.
So since that decision was brought down by the Supreme Court, it was authored by Anthony Kennedy, and if you can correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially it's my understanding that his majority opinion in that case basically said, look, just because you are spending money through a corporation, you do not then have to give up your rights of independent advocacy.
That's correct.
So, this decision caused a lot of consternation. I think a lot of folks on the progressive left have in the intervening years since this decision have sort of made it an article of faith that if you do not support overturning Citizens United, you are not a member of this group in good standing.
Yes, Citizens United has morphed as a term in the political arena into something more than the facts of the case. It means to progressives and liberals sort of everything that is wrong with campaigns, everything that is represented by big corporate money coming in and buying elections, even though the case itself did not deal with those issues in the sort of fundamental way. It dealt with this relatively small question of independent expenditures.
Notably, in 2016, the victorious candidate for president, Donald Trump, was heavily outspent by Hillary Clinton and allied interest groups. In this campaign, we have multiple billionaires running on the Democratic side who are prepared to spend, at least Mayor Bloomberg says he's prepared to spend $2 billion on this campaign of his own money. Now, that doesn't really get to a lot of the issues related to Citizens United, but it seems as if there is, I don't know, I guess there's just a misunderstanding about how campaign money gets spent, about how independent advocates spend their money. Clear some of those up for us.
Sure. There is a fundamental misunderstanding. First, it's worth noting that the Citizens United decision had no effect on Michael Bloomberg's ability to spend money himself. He could have, prior to this decision and any time really in the history of the country, spent as much money as he wanted on his own campaign. So he can spend, any billionaire can jump in to try and win the race himself. Billionaires have not been very successful doing this for obvious reasons. Well, maybe not obvious reasons, because the public, you can only spend your money to try to persuade the public, and the public sees a billionaire spending billions of dollars and is often unattracted to that risk. But what Citizens United did do is open up the avenue of independent spending and eventually lead to the creation of what we know as the Super PAC, which is a group that spends on express advocacy, ads that say vote for Joe during the campaign. They do so independently of candidates, and those groups have increased the overall amount of spending that has occurred in the four or five election cycles since the Citizens United decision. Those groups are still being sort of wildly outspent by traditional limited sources. So candidates collect money directly from individuals. Candidates are still in almost all races outspending super PACs and independent voices. Political parties are still outspending super PACs. For the most part, the super PACs now account for about a quarter of total campaign spending, and that spending comes primarily from wealthy individuals who want to have a voice in the campaign process, sometimes successfully, sometimes unsuccessfully. They are able to buy ads to try and persuade voters, and frankly, that has been a good thing.
Nonetheless, there is this persistence that Citizens United was a terrible decision. And if you don't mind, point to some examples where folks on the left would actually be pleased that this decision went, as far as they're concerned, the wrong way.
Sure. One of the truly surprising things, I think, for almost everyone after Citizens United is that outsiders, true outsiders to sort of the Washington, D.C. culture, have done tremendously well in the system since the election. We've seen this on both the Republican side and the Democratic side. Well, we have not seen sort of the ossifying of elections with, you know, big moneyed corporate interests controlling exactly who gets elected. The most quintessential example of this might be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who was wildly outspent by her Democratic primary opponent, who was also a party insider, who also received a lot of support from the big money sources, from the traditional funding sources, and she was able to appeal to her constituencies as an outsider. She sort of represents the quintessence of what has happened since that time, but we see this over and over again. And in the most recent 2018 election, a large number of the Democratic, the successful challengers to incumbent politicians have received the support of super PACs you probably haven't heard of, independent groups you probably haven't heard of that are not spending as much money, but are more effective at spending money because they're doing so for the challengers. So in the four election cycles after Citizens United, five election cycles after Citizens United, the average number of challenger or freshman members of Congress, challengers who beat incumbents, was about 77. In the four election cycles before Citizens United, it was about 55. So we've seen a fairly significant increase in turnover in House races. There's been greater diversity and more rapid change in this area of independent money.
I appreciate that. But to what extent was independent money contributing to those victories?
Well, money can't buy elections. So the money is effectively benefiting people because it gets their name out there. It offers the opportunity to be heard, to be part of the campaigns. But to what extent any particular dollar helps someone get elected is really difficult to say. The probable answer is that every dollar of money helps you towards promoting your message, and then voters decide whether or not your message is a good one. And so having more dollars from independent groups, even though it is only about a quarter of total spending, is helping overall. We also see a number of incumbents have used independent expenditures, have used super PACs, or have super PACs that support them trying to promote their campaigns. They've been less successful doing so. The most famous example of this is probably Jeb Bush in the Republican primary of 2016. He spent about the super PAC that supported him spent $120 million and more or less utterly failed to convince people that he was an adequate candidate. So the money helps. The money promotes a message. The money gets your name recognition, which is incredibly important. It buys ads. It buys political speech. But the voters decide whether that political speech is worthwhile.
So it will be interesting to watch, with billionaires spending massive amounts of money, whether or not their spending actually contributes to vote totals, because in many elections past, it just hasn't.
That's absolutely true. We've seen candidates like Michael Bloomberg before, and Republican Meg Whitman in California a number of years ago attempted to do what he is doing, flood the airwaves. And she did receive support. She received name recognition. Some people got on board with that message. But as a general rule, that does not correlate with winning. It's better to think of winning as causing money to get in the race, as opposed to money causing winning.
Scott Blackburn is the director of research at the Institute for Free Speech. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please, and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.